that's fine.
Let's go for it.
You better start off with introduction.
Oh, yes. Oral history recording on the 11th of July 2012 with Elizabeth Wells,
Tom Edlin,
and
Stephen Lushington.
Right. Do you want to do a first question or shall I, Tom?
You start, Elizabeth.
The first thing I wanted to ask you was really how you came to teach at Westminster.
What?
How did you come to teach at Westminster School?
Well, I came because well, there are all sorts of things. My father's first cousin was the bursar, and he was known as, he was Geoffrey Redcliffe, and trying to think what else. I think he really was a very civilized interview. He was interested in what one was reading and what theatres you went to and so on. And John Christie was a very easy man to talk to. He was headmaster at the time.
And what made you want to be a teacher?
Well, when I was in 5 years before I went to Westminster, I was in my room at West. No, it must have been when I was at West at Westminster. I had either a letter or something from the senior classics master at Eton, saying, "Would I like to come and take the rowing master's class? Nothing to do with rowing. I mean, just it happened to be his class." In fact, funny business, because in those days, when I went and substituted, I think I was paid £1 a day. And then what? At that time, the headmaster had a flat on top of 17 Dean's Yard, above the present study. it was all very, very open. In other words, I taught some Latin and Greek and some English, which is what I went on to, in English. Well, just go, if you think of something, say it.
Yes, what were the pupils like when you first started teaching at Westminster? Did you like the pupils? Did you think they were... were they keen to learn?
Oh, yes.
Did you find teaching them was exciting, fun? Did you enjoy the process?
Yes, always have.
What did you enjoy teaching most?
Well, once I got started on English, of course, it was easier to I could choose what I was going to teach. See if you can give me.
Yes.
There was a not very attractive classroom next to the stage up school.
Oh, yes, I know, yeah. Just to the side.
What?
Just to the side of...
Yes, just to the side on the left. And... I had some quite bright ones who could write and so on, including a chap called Anthony Howard, who was
a
professional politician, so to speak, newsreader and so on. And well, I've run out for the moment. One never knows what sort of, which way one's thinking or you're thinking. Or...
Of course, yes, we've heard about Anthony Howard and as, you know, one of our famous old Westminsters of that time.
Yes.
Do you remember him being interested in politics and current affairs when you taught him?
No, but I don't remember that he wasn't. I simply mean, you know, that when I taught him, you know, he was writing something that, you know, a story or an essay or something, and he was good at that. We got on quite well. And of course he played the lead in many of the plays that I directed.
Did he? Yes, because we've heard that you directed a lot of plays.
Yes.
Was that something quite new for Westminster? Had there been a lot of drama before?
There had been drama earlier on, I think, because John Gielgud was something to do with Westminster at one time.
Yes.
And he was living in the street behind the main block of houses.
Oh, was he?
Anthony Howard.
Right. Yes. So he was close at hand.
Yes.
Rehearsals and. Did you find that your colleagues in the common room were keen on plays and all these things that you were doing?
Well, they didn't seem to object.
They let it happen, did they?
Yes.
Did you find that they respected English as a subject and English teaching?
It gradually became more and more respectable, yes.
Because we sort of think that, you know, at that time it was all about classics, and classics ruled the school, really.
Well, no. What happened was that English was only considered English because people were specialising in history.
Yes. Yeah. So, did it support the historian's work in a way?
I suppose so. Yes.
Did you find that the other members of the common room were easy to work with? Were they good colleagues to work with?
I think they were okay. Sorry, that sounds rather grudging, but I didn't mean it that way. I simply, you know, it didn't occur to me that they were other than helpful.
Who were the big characters in the common room at that time?
Well,
we've got a photograph of the common room, which you might like to have a look at. That's some of the common room together.
Hugo Garten. He got out of a country overrun by the Nazis. That's Adolf yes. Prague.
Oh, yes. He taught maths, didn't
yes.
he?
That looks like John Wilson. I don't know.
Yes, it is, I think. He's got a beard there, which is rather unexpected.
Yes. That must be Lawrence Bird.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Gosh, you've got all these.
And there's another one here.
This is slightly later, from when Walter Hamilton was headmaster.
Yes, 1950s, mid-1950s, I think.
Of course. Walter Hamilton had been my tutor at Eton.
Had he?
Yes.
Yes, because I believe he was master in college.
Yes.
At Eton. Is that right?
That's right.
How did you find Westminster compared to Eton? Were they similar, or?
Well, geographically, it's so different. I mean, you know, having in London a London day school Mind you, it I remember all these people. James Peebles.
Oh, yes.
Fisher.
Yep.
John Carlton.
Yep.
Walter Hamilton. David Simpson. Lawrence Bird. Francis Rawls. Leslie Spall. The Bursar. Frank Kilvington. Denny Brock. Two modern language masters, Dr. Sanger and Dr. Garton, Craven, Zinn.
Ah, Theo Zinn, yes.
We interviewed, well, Tom.
What?
Tom interviewed Theo Zinn quite recently.
Did you?
Yes, I met Theo just a few months ago, which was very interesting, because, of course, I'd heard a lot about him as a classics master. He said that, I probably shouldn't say this, but he said that he was a bit disappointed in the common room by people not being that friendly when he first went to Westminster. Do you think that's fair?
Possible. Possibly. I think I pretty well recognise everybody now.
Did you think Walter Hamilton was a good headmaster? Because you were there throughout his time as headmaster, weren't you?
Well, I think he was at a disadvantage, because he was not in a Westminster tradition. He had a fairly melancholy personality. Everybody here. I think I might say that the senior house masters, which would be Simpson, who was master in college, and Fisher. Peebles, Wilson.
Yes. Then you became a senior housemaster yourself. Well, you were a housemaster for some time, weren't you?
Yes, I mean, I was a housemaster after about a year or so.
Did you always want to be a housemaster? Was that a job you wanted in the school?
Well, it made one was in a much more interesting position because you had boys under you going right down to 12, age 12 or something, and the senior monitors were 17 or 18. Sorry, I don't find this easy because I'm not quite sure where to start and where to stop and where to go.
No, don't worry, it's okay. Do say if you want us to pause or anything. That's fine.
And you can start wherever you like. Some of your pupils went on to be very successful in different spheres. There's Simon Gray, who went on to be a great playwright.
Yes.
Corin Redgrave.
Yes.
Could you tell when they were pupils that they would go on to have success in later life?
Just quite an extent, yes. I found a number of them in different ways successful and bright, and you know, it was fun.
Did it feel gratifying when they went on to have success? Were you pleased for them?
I strongly suspect that as they sort of emerged in success, that I considered it interesting. I don't know that I was unselfish enough to be pleased for them. Reasonably.
Of course, many of them then went on to write about their time at Westminster too, and you know, Simon Gray has written about you.
Yes, he has, but I don't think anybody else has.
I think Corin Redgrave said that you'd made.
Oh, he said quite nice things. Yes. We drama sort of reappeared, so that I was willing to do a play. One of the first ones I did was an Everyman, which is a medieval thing. We did Macbeth, Twelfth Night, Hamlet,
I Were they all performed up school?
Yes.
Did you have very impressive scenery, or was it...?
I think we used to hire scenery from some Shakespeare company.
And did you perform them several nights? Did they go for several nights?
We normally did them for 4 or 5 nights.
It's quite an undertaking. Mm.
And did most of the school come to see the plays? Did most people come?
Oh, yes. Well, I didn't make them come, they came.
I'm sure they wanted to.
Yes.
Your plays got very good reviews in the Your plays got very good reviews in the Elizabethan, in the school newsletter. I didn't bring it, and I should have done, but I was reading a review of School for Scandal, which you directed. They were very complimentary, but they said that they took it for granted that you would direct a good play.
Yes.
That they'd come to expect it of you by that stage. Did you find it hard finding the time to do plays, particularly when you became a housemaster as well?
I think it was all right. One, you see, when you weren't actually teaching, you had plenty of time to do various things. I mean, like talking to the parents about the play, or and it's always very difficult, you know, looking back to make very definite impressions.
When you first started teaching, it wasn't long after the end of the war, and I imagine Westminster would look very different now to how it was then. I know school and college had been badly bombed, and presumably there was still rationing of food when you first started.
Yes.
I mean, was that a very different... Did that make teaching difficult?
No, I don't think so. See, it's when I first went back to teach at Eton, the first year that I taught there, I was quite surprised to find a message from the senior classics master saying, would I like to go down and take somebody's classes? As I say, it's the master of the rowing eight. I had to go to Henley, and therefore the job lasted as long as the eight was successful. Then when they were knocked out, I'm afraid the coffee's in vain because it'll be cold now.
Do you want to? Well, not very warm.
No, put it down. I can do it. You all right, Libby?
I thought I'd see if Papa gives you some more coffee.
Sorry?
Oh, yes.
Need some more coffee?
Yeah.
It's cold. Okay.
I'm sure. Sorry. Tea's cold, I'm sure.
No good having cold coffee.
I'll go and get some hot coffee, so yeah.
You said that you taught in that room at the far end of school.
Yes.
Did you always teach in the same room? Was it your own classroom?
Well, it was something called Transitus A in my day.
Ah, yes.
But then I went, not to, I can't exactly say when, but there was a, just when you come into Dean's Yard, and into Little Dean's Yard, and turn right, there was a classroom there with quite a big bow windows.
Oh, yes, I know. We've rebuilt that.
Mm.
But
yes.
I know where that was, yes.
Yes. So that was all right.
Did you ever teach in Ashburnham House, where a lot of the classrooms were?
I don't think I did, no.
And then I suppose when they rebuilt College Dormitory and Wrens moved in...
Yes.
I suppose were you in there? You were in that building?
Yes, that's right.
I always think that's a very nice building because you have the view of the garden.
Yes,
you
do.
Did you enjoy being in there?
I enjoyed being there. I had, you know... just had a study there, which was very nice. Looking out onto College Garden.
Mm. Did you teach in there as well?
Well, I don't particularly remember teaching in there, but I think I did at some time because the room you could just go into from Little Dean's Yard, and there was quite a wide window, and you could look out onto what was going on elsewhere. I think that it was starting to have plays made quite a general difference because it was asking to have boys of different ages and seniority rehearsing at times when they might want to do something else, or other senior masters might think that they ought to do something else.
Did that mean that different ages, different year groups were doing things together more?
Well, I think they did do things together, but depending on what play it was and who goes first or second, I think I got the reputation of being quite tough and saying, you know, speak up, I can't hear a word you say, and things like that, which is...
Very good for them.
What?
Very good for them.
I think it did bring them on, actually, because I didn't mean it unpleasantly, but it's just...
It didn't go down so well here. What? You couldn't get a move on. Somebody dropped out over that.
Have some coffee. So.
That was hot.
Too hot.
I won't leave it so long this time. You won't let it get cold.
Would you like tea? A hot tea?
No, it's fine, thank you.
One of the things Theo Zinn talked about when I met him recently was the Latin play, which he produced, revived, and produced. What did you think about the Latin plays that he was producing at that time?
Well, in that it was a Latin play, and I didn't really know much about the Latin plays, that I was thoroughly interested in what seemed to be happening, but it was... It didn't come so close to one at all.
Was it just really for the elite classicists around Theo?
Well,
that it was a major thing.
I think people. It was one of those things that involved parents and guests and so on.
Did you find that parents were very involved in the school?
Well, the answer probably is yes, because in that you have... The parents were almost... Many of them were living in London, and therefore, you know, they would come and see me to... producing some child and saying, and I could talk to them. It's lovely, thank you. Well, John Christie's wife had the flat in the top floor of, I suppose, where Liddell's is now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she kept chickens up there.
Upstairs?
Well, I think on the roof.
Oh, right. Yes.
There's
yes,
a flat roof.
The terrace, yes. Mm.
So that meant you always had eggs?
What?
You had a constant supply of eggs?
Well, I'm not sure about that.
What was the food good at the school?
It was reasonable, yes.
Did everyone eat their meals by house at that time? Did you have house lunch?
I think so, yes.
Did Liddell's have their lunch in Liddell's? Was there a proper dining
room?
Well,
of course, Liddell's didn't exist when I first went there.
No, yes, of course.
But what was the name of the woman who ran the office?
Was she Ashcroft? Is that right? Might not be right.
Was she a bit later?
Yes, you're probably right. Maybe that was later. I don't know, I'm afraid.
Doesn't matter.
It'll be in the archive somewhere.
Yes,
you can
yes.
find it, I'm sure.
And you were working in Parliament, you say?
Yes, I worked at Parliament before. Oh. But I like Westminster better. Oh. I probably shouldn't have said that on a recording.
No, you should say that.
I suppose one of the things that must have been very different when you were at Westminster is that there wouldn't have been very many women at the school.
No, that's perfectly true. And I was not all that first period. There were no girls. They came later.
Yes. Mm. Did... You were accommodated at the school when you were housemaster, obviously. Is that right?
Not at first. Yeah. But I was accommodated at the top of what then became Liddell's, 17 Dean's Yard. Mm.
Was it good accommodation? Was it comfortable?
It was quite good, yes. It had... I had a... I had a study on the floor below, which is more in touch with the boys and everything else. And then there was quite a big bedroom and a dressing room. It was comfortable.
Were the wives of the headmaster and the housemasters, did they become friendly because they were living close together?
I didn't feel that they were enormously friendly, but don't turn that into they weren't. The tricky thing is, I think, is I don't find it easy to arrange in what order things came.
We're not very good at arranging our questions either.
Mm. Oh, no, don't say that.
You get quite distracted.
You have to ask something. Doesn't worry me being asked anything, actually. If I can't answer it, I'll tell you.
I think we both get very interested in different things, too. Tom and I. So.
Now, tell me what your name is again.
Tom Edlin.
E-D or E-G?
E-D.
E-D. Mm. And where were you before you came to Westminster?
Well, I suppose, yeah, I went to Oxford from Westminster, and then I did a bit of research, and then I taught it somewhere else in North London for a couple of years. Before I came back to the school.
What do you mean by North London?
Well, Muswell Hill.
Yes.
And then I came back to Westminster.
Yeah.
There must have been a few old Westminsters on the staff when you were teaching at Westminster.
Oh, yes.
Do you think that that was something that was very obvious? Do you think there was, you know, old Westminsters on the staff had a certain role?
Yes, I think they probably had a certain feeling that they were the important people.
A lot has changed. A lot has changed, that.
Yeah. Charles Keeley was the senior history master.
Yes.
At the time that I was
What was Charles Keeley like as a history teacher?
Well, he's a sort of senior academic. I mean, I don't know. I'm sorry, I'm not very rewarding.
Not at all. Someone told me, one of Charles Keeley's pupils told me that he used to read out the Times Law Report to them at the start of every lesson, because he thought they were mostly going to become lawyers.
I didn't know that.
Did you like the fact that you were living and working right next to Westminster Abbey? Or did that not really matter to you?
I think we enjoyed. See, we went to the Abbey, started off the day with the Abbey service.
Mm.
Of course, whilst you were there, there was the coronation, which must have been...
yes, that was quite something, because we were given seats high up, and you could look down and see all the distinguished guests in the nave and the choir and so on.
I think we've got a picture somewhere of
Would you like another?
No, I think
while we find the picture.
With the school decorated for the coronation reception.
I wonder what that is.
I think they borrowed a tapestry for the occasion to...
Borrowed what?
Borrowed the tapestry for the occasion to
borrowed.
Make the...
And then they put the portraits up to make it look very grand.
Whose portrait was it?
Headmaster's, I think.
That might be Hamilton.
I think yes, that's... They definitely had the headmasters up both sides.
Tom, give me your cup and I'll make it a cup of tea.
Oh. Was the whole school very excited about the coronation in the months before it happened? It must have been quite disruptive.
I don't think it was very disruptive. I don't remember it being so, but
when they started to rebuild school and college after the damage of the war, did that become disruptive for the school, the building work?
It might have, probably. That nail cut.
And do you remember at all when the Queen visited to reopen the new buildings?
Yes, I remember.
Must have been a very big occasion.
Yes. I didn't get on at all with John Carlton.
Did you think he was a bad headmaster compared with his predecessors?
Yes, I think he was. Give me a biscuit.
Mm.
Top one, fingers. Is Pat still here? Pat?
Uh-huh.
Can you give
me
half a cup of hot coffee?
Another half cup? Okay. In it, see if that's helped.
What?
I've just put some more hot water in it, see if it's helped. Hang on. There you go. Biscuit crumbs. Is that better?
Yes, fine.
Good.
That down somewhere.
If either of you want to use the facilities, they're right here.
Thank you.
What did you say? Did you say anything?
If you want to go to the bathroom, it's right here. We have one bathroom in this flat.
Do you think that if John Carlton hadn't become headmaster, that you would have stayed at Westminster longer?
I suppose I might. Yes, possible. Excuse me. It's tricky because those years were very, very full. I'm not trying that at the moment.
Why do you think John Carlton was appointed as headmaster?
Because because I think he was a successful second master, you know. To yeah. So when Walter Hamilton was he must have applied for the job at Rugby.
Mm, yes.
And I think he might have thought John Carlton was so linked with Westminster in a number of ways that I'm sorry, I'm not being very helpful.
Do you think they thought John Carlton, at least he wouldn't leave Westminster for another school?
Possibly, I should have thought, yes.
Because I remember being told that when Walter Hamilton went to Rugby, everyone was very offended because no headmaster of Westminster was ever supposed to leave for another school. Do you think people were a bit put out that he decided to go?
Yes, possibly.
Do you know why he decided to leave Westminster?
Well, I think he liked London, and he liked to be at the centre of things.
Did you prefer working for John Christie or Walter Hamilton as headmaster? Or is that an unfair question?
Well, I got on very well with John Christie. Walter Hamilton, in a sense, was an old friend. But I, you know, I don't think there's a direct answer to that question.
Do you think John Carlton felt threatened by you or jealous of you?
Well, when they were rebuilding college, John Carlton lived in the flat that I was living in, above Liddell's. And I don't know, he might have felt threatened, but I mean not immediately, because he was sort of quite senior, been there some time, and
Were you sad to leave?
What?
Were you sad to leave Westminster? Did you miss it when you first left?
Well, I think I was sad to leave, yes. Because I hadn't got on well with John Carlton. Didn't seem so difficult.
I know that you later became friends with John Ray.
I know John Ray, yes.
And Tristram Jones-Parry.
Oh, yes, and had quite a lot to do with Tristram.
Did that help? Did it feel nice to be in touch with the school again?
Yes, I think probably true. Yes.
Did you ever teach Tristram when he was a boy at the school?
I think he was a mathematician.
Yes. Oh, yes, he would have been doing maths and science.
I can't do that.
Yeah. He may have done a bit of English.
Don't particularly remember.
Is there anything, let me say this towards the end, is there anything you wanted to say or would like to say that we haven't given you the chance to say?
I can't think of it at the moment.
There's always a chance to later if you think of something. What? There's always a chance later if you think of something. But we like to give people the opportunity now in case they've been dying to say something and we haven't let them. Is there anything? Did you have any other?
Yeah, bless you.
Okay. Right. Well, we will end the recording there. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed.
You. Well, you haven't got much to thank me for, but as I say, the way these things arrange themselves is it's very immediate at the time, and then one passes on.
Thank you.